From CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, this is UBC Arts on Air. I'm your host, Ira Nadell. Each week, we feature the ideas and stories of students and staff within the Faculty of Arts at the University of British Columbia. Today, Chris Lee, director of UBC's new Asian Canadian and Asian Migration Studies program. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ira.
Well, I want to begin with this new program. What is it really about, and who enrolls in such a program?
Yeah. Well, I think anyone who's spent more than a minute in Lower Mainland will know that this is a city that's shaped by people from all over the world. And the history of Vancouver and BC has always been about migration and people from all over coming here, contacting each other, and cultures changing. In this sense, Vancouver is actually like a lot of different cities around the Pacific Rim, Shanghai, Tokyo, Beijing. And so this program is about both local communities of Asian descent, but also to think about those communities in a global context and think comparatively across different countries and different continents.
But who actually chooses to take the program and do this minor?
Yeah. Well, this is a multidisciplinary minor, so students are taking classes from different departments in the Faculty of Arts. Some students take it because they grew up in communities that had large immigrant or migrant populations. Some students take this program because their own family histories include migration, and so this is a way for them to understand their own background more. And then other students take this program because they're interested in working with multicultural communities, and this program is meant to give them some background and some context to work across cultures.
Can you give me an idea of one or two courses?
So this term we've got, I'm teaching a course on Asian diaspora literature. We're comparing literature from Canada, United States, Australia, and other places. We have a great course in theater called Intercultural Theater, which is about staging plays in different cultural contexts. So they're working on like Shakespeare in Singapore, or they're working on, you know, Beckett in Vancouver.
Yeah, I like Beckett in Vancouver.
That one
is very good. What do I need to enter the program? Surely there must be some requirements?
So this program is available to all UBC students who are eligible to take a minor in the Faculty of Arts. It consists of 18 credits at the 300-400 level, and we get started by setting a time to sit down with me and our program manager, and we talk about what your interests are, and we then come up with a list of courses. Some students come to us and they've already taken a lot of courses on this subject, and so we just try to see what's missing, and that's where we go.
Okay, but tell me about the multimedia component. How does that integrate with the program, and was that something that you generated, or you felt it should be part of what you're doing?
It was very organic. So in the last couple of years, as we've been sort of making preparations for launching the program, we realized that a lot of the faculty teaching this area were using media in different ways. So their students were making films in class, they were making podcasts, they were doing online projects. And we realized that this is now one of the most powerful ways to engage with and work with outside off-campus communities and on-campus communities. And so when we started the program in fall, we made a commitment that this would be a major portion of our program. And so one of our sort of core courses this year, next year, is actually a film production course that will teach you how to turn on a camera and all the way to making your own feature film in 13 weeks.
So I would get credit for
absolutely
a multimedia project.
Absolutely. And we have actually, for example, in the theater class that I just mentioned, students are making performance videos and films. And so we, in a lot of the ACAM courses, we integrate media in all sorts of different ways according to the subject matter.
Well, I know that some of these videos are up on your website, but is it possible to access them in any other fashion for a broader audience?
Yeah, so I mean, I would definitely recommend people visit our website, acam.arts.ubc.ca. We post some of the latest projects. We do also have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter feed. So we try, when our students do really neat projects, we try to get it out the community as soon as possible.
Yes. Well, you mentioned community. I think there are also some community projects, correct?
Yep.
Associated with it?
Sure.
What are they?
Yeah, so one of the things that we want to prepare students for in this program is to work intensely with community. We call it the co-creation of knowledge. So, you know, our students learn from community and they collaborate with mentors and elders in creating knowledge. So I'll just give a couple examples maybe. We had a project that was running from last summer where one of our students worked with some musicians and artists on a Japanese-Canadian bass player who was a jazz bass player who passed away a few years ago, and she worked with her collaborators to collect some of his old recordings, to put them online, some old photos, and took some films of their stories about this amazing jazz player. And so that website, multimedia website, will be launched in a few weeks. And this summer, we actually have a project on that I'm working with a few students on in rediscovering the history of Asian students at UBC. You know, this is our centennial year, and we want to know who are some of the first Asian Canadian students at our campus.
I think that's really marvelous and critical in this particular time. However, we're talking about today, we're talking about tomorrow. It's very interesting to me. I think that you published an article some years ago entitled "The Lateness of Asian Canadian Studies." What did you mean, and why lateness?
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we live in a city that's been shaped by people from all over the world, right? And we live in a multicultural reality, and we have been living in multicultural realities since Vancouver began. Our university has not always reflected that, you know, in terms of the courses that we offer, in terms of the community partnerships that we have, and in terms of our opportunities for our students. So by lateness, I mean there's a bit of a gap. And I will say that, you know, this program existed because for many years, faculty, students, community got together and said, we've got to shape our university education in ways that are more responsive to the community. And in some ways, I feel like, you know, it's exciting to start a new program, exciting to have this, but I always feel like we're also catching up. There's so much stuff happening in our city. There's so much stuff that our students are involved in their own daily lives. And this is a small way for us to pay attention to that and recognize that, and then integrate that into the UBC community.
Okay, but as a discipline, broadly speaking, mm-hmm. you know, whether we talk about the Trans-Pacific region or whether we talk about North America, is it reasonable to also address the question of lateness? Or has, you know, say, pick any university on the West Coast, have they been doing this longer than we have?
People have been doing things in different ways. So there's not one model for doing this. There are certainly universities who have had programs in sort of ethnic studies or Asian American studies in the U.S., Asian Australian studies. But we have had a lot of professors who've been doing this work. We have an incredible archive at UBC. Of professors collecting materials from our community elders, and now they're available for research and for the public. So there's not one way of doing this, but there's a lot of work to do. And so I think of lateness as we are trying step by step to catch up with what's out there.
Do you see this program making it possible for exchange in terms of students from UBC to universities in, China or Japan or Korea?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of interest in Asia on Asian migrations. And of course, Asia itself is shaped by migrations. I will mention that we actually have a course this summer, a history course that's called that's a global seminar. They'll be taught in Hong Kong and Shanghai and Vancouver.
I'm in.
And it's going to be about urban form and nostalgia. So we're going to compare Vancouver, Shanghai, and Hong Kong and think about how these cities have changed under development. And this is precisely the Trans-Pacific perspective that we want to bring.
I think that's wonderfully exciting. I mean, wow. If I'd only known earlier, I tell you.
We'll reserve your spot.
Oh, well, that's very good. That's very good. Now, you're actually a UBC Honors English graduate. And now you're back at UBC after a number of years. How does it feel? What's changed?
You know, when I got this job at UBC, I never expected it. I thought once I left Vancouver, I'd never make it back. And so it was a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock. And I thought it would be like picking up my life again as an undergraduate. And it was nothing like that. You know, my former teachers are now my trusted and valued colleagues. And I see things from the other side of the table. But it's really great to talk to students in our department and say, you know, I was there once, and, you know, you're interested in these same things that I was interested in, and hopefully there are now different opportunities for you to pursue these interests.
So you feel the university has grown or reshaped itself in these intervening years?
Yeah, I think the university has grown. The university has made steps towards recognizing its broader cultural responsibilities and broader social responsibilities. I think ACAM is one step in that. And I was mentioned, I mean, our program was launched in 2012 when UBC recognized its complicity in the expulsion of Japanese Canadian students in 1942. And Dean Averill at that point announced and committed to this program as a way of making sure that histories of racism aren't forgotten. So these are important steps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, speaking on the international side of things, mm-hmm. I believe you're quite involved with St. John's College
yes,
as well.
That's right.
Do you want to describe a little bit about what you're doing there and sure. the nature of St. John's College? I'm not sure a lot of people understand.
Yeah. So St. John's College is one of two graduate colleges at UBC. The other is Green College. We're located near the Psychology Building and Scarf Building. And we are a community of international of graduate students and postdoctoral fellows who are interested in international issues. So about 150 people live at St. John's College. About two-thirds are from outside Canada. And so we try to provide a hospitable, welcoming, working, and living environment for members of the UBC community to interact together daily on international issues. And so it's a really wonderful community. If anyone's thinking of graduate studies at UBC, whether you're from Canada or not, I would highly recommend you look into St. John's. And it's a really amazing way to get to know people. So I'll just mention, I had dinner there a few days ago, and on my table was someone working on public health in Cambodia, someone working on the history of Korean ceramics in Japan, and somebody working on the politics of progressive literature in the United States. And where else? And that would be your—that's your regular dinner conversation.
That's unbelievable, really. Well, so in some ways, you don't need a classroom. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, actually. And finally, I noticed a new project you're undertaking, and I love the title: "Losing China: Trans-Pacific Literary Thought and Cold War Geopolitics." What is this about?
Yeah. Well, so one of my own research interests is in Chinese migrations after 1949, after the revolution. And the revolution affected all people who are of Chinese background in some way, because all of a sudden your relationship to the homeland changed. Losing China was actually something that was brought up by the McCarthy era, and you know, where the United States accused some State Department officials of losing China when 1949, when it went communist. But I'm interested in thinking of loss in a different way. I'm thinking of interested of what does it mean to lose a homeland? What does it mean to lose a history? What does it mean to move from one place to another place? And for me, what's interesting is that those experiences of loss and movement directly affect how we read literature. We read through loss, and we read through those histories of migration.
So it seems to me this concept of loss is complex because yeah. it's both absence and memory and history, I suppose.
That's right.
And so the question might be, how do you grapple with those Yeah. interstices,
That's
you
right.
might say.
And the divides of the 49 revolution have not been resolved. I was just back from Hong Kong, and you know, those divides between Hong Kong, Taiwan, and China are still there. And so loss is not a historical event, it's a daily reality for many people.
So I must ask you, what kind of research do you do on a topic like this? Where do you do it?
Well, sometimes it means talking to people. It means talking to people who are writers or critics at a certain time. Sometimes it means hours in a library, trying to look up old journals, old magazines, old articles, and sometimes it means watching things like popular culture and film, because that's where people were working out their different identity questions.
Yes, absolutely, and the sense of historical drama, which I have seen in China itself,
yes.
you know, it seemed to be television stations just devoted to recreating
yes.
incidents
yes.
and scenes from the past.
Yes, history is not in the past. History is very much in the present.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, this has been wonderful. I want to thank our guest today, Chris Lee, Director of the Asian Canadian and Asian Migration Studies Program, and stay tuned for further profiles from the always innovative and exciting Faculty of Arts at UBC. Thanks again, Chris. From CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, this is UBC Arts on Air. I'm your host, Ira Nadell. Each week, we feature the ideas and stories of students and staff within the Faculty of Arts at the University of British Columbia. Today, Chris Lee, director of UBC's new Asian Canadian and Asian Migration Studies Program. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ira.
Well, I want to begin with this new program. What is it really about, and who enrolls in such a program?
Yeah. Well, I think anyone who's spent more than a minute in the Lower Mainland will know that this is a city that's shaped by people from all over the world. And the history of Vancouver and BC has always been about migration, and people from all over are coming here, contacting each other, and cultures changing. In this sense, Vancouver is actually like a lot of different cities around the Pacific Rim, Shanghai, Tokyo, Beijing. And so this program is about both local communities of Asian descent, but also think about those communities in a global context and think comparatively across different countries and different continents.
But who actually chooses to take the program and do this minor?
Yeah. Well, this is a multidisciplinary minor, so students are taking classes from different departments in the Faculty of Arts. Some students take it because they grew up in communities that had large immigrant or migrant populations. Some students take this program because their own family histories include migration, and so this is a way for them to understand their own background more. And then other students take this program because they're interested in working with multicultural communities, and this program is meant to give them some background and some context to work across cultures.
Can you give me an idea of one or two courses?
So this term we've got, I'm teaching a course on Asian diaspora literature. We're comparing literature from Canada, United States, Australia, and other places. We have a great course in theater called Intercultural Theater, which is about staging plays in different cultural contexts. So they're working on like Shakespeare in Singapore, or they're working on, you know, Beckett in Vancouver.
Yeah, I like Beckett in Vancouver.
That one
is very good. What do I need to enter the program? Surely there must be some requirements?
So this program is available to all UBC students who are eligible to take a minor in the Faculty of Arts. It consists of 18 credits at the 300-400 level, and we get started by setting a time to sit down with me and our program manager, and we talk about what your interests are, and we then come up with a list of courses. Some students come to us and they've already taken a lot of courses on this subject, and so we just try to see what's missing, and that's where we go.
Okay, but tell me about the multimedia component. How does that integrate with the program, and was that something that you generated, or you felt this was, it should be part of what you're doing?
It was very organic. So in the last couple of years, as we've been sort of making preparations for launching the program, we realized that a lot of the faculty teaching this area were using media in different ways. So their students were making films in class, they were making podcasts, they were doing online projects. And we realized that this is now one of the most powerful ways to engage with and work with outside off-campus communities and on-campus communities. And so when we started the program in fall, we made a commitment that this would be a major portion of our program. And so one of our sort of core courses this year, next year, is actually a film production course that will teach you how to turn on a camera and all the way to making your own feature film in short film in 13 weeks.
So I would get credit for
absolutely
a multimedia project.
Absolutely. And we have actually, for example, in the theater class that I just mentioned, students are making performance videos and films. And so we, in a lot of the ACAM courses, we integrate media in all sorts of different ways according to the subject matter.
Well, I know that some of these videos are up on your website, but is it possible to access them in any other fashion for a broader audience?
Yeah, so I mean, I would definitely recommend people visit our website, acam.arts.ubc.ca. We post some of the latest projects. We do also have a YouTube channel. We have a Facebook page, and we have a Twitter feed. So we try, when our students do really neat project, we try to get it out the community as soon as possible.
Yes. Well, you mentioned community. I think there are also some community projects, correct?
Yep.
Associated with it?
Sure.
What are they?
Yeah, so one of the things that we want to prepare students for in this program is to work intensely with community. We call it the co-creation of knowledge. So, you know, our students learn from community and they collaborate with mentors and elders in creating knowledge. So I'll just give a couple examples maybe. We had a project that was running from last summer where one of our students worked with some musicians and artists on a Japanese-Canadian bass player who was a jazz bass player who passed away a few years ago, and she worked with her collaborators to collect some of his old recordings, to put them online, some old photos, and took some films of their stories about this amazing jazz player. And so that website, multimedia website, will be launched in a few weeks. And this summer, we actually have a project on that I'm working with a few students on in rediscovering the history of Asian students at UBC. You know, this is our centennial year, and we want to know who are some of the first Asian Canadian students at our campus.
I think that's really marvelous and critical in this particular time. However, we're talking about today, we're talking about tomorrow. It's very interesting to me. I think that you published an article some years ago entitled "The Lateness of Asian Canadian Studies." What did you mean, and why lateness?
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we live in a city that's been shaped by people from all over the world, right? And we live in a multicultural reality, and we have been living in multicultural realities since Vancouver began. Our university has not always reflected that, you know, in terms of the courses that we offer, in terms of the community partnerships that we have, and in terms of our opportunities for our students. So by lateness, I mean there's a bit of a gap. And I will say that, you know, this program existed because for many years, faculty, students, community got together and said, we've got to shape our university education in ways that are more responsive to the community. And in some ways, I feel like, you know, it's exciting to start a new program, exciting to have this, but I always feel like we're also catching up. There's so much stuff happening in our city. There's so much stuff that our students are involved in their own daily lives. And this is a small way for us to pay attention to that and recognize that, and then integrate that into the UBC community.
Okay, but as a discipline, broadly speaking, mm-hmm. you know, whether we talk about the Trans-Pacific region or whether we talk about North America, is it reasonable to also address the question of lateness? Or has, you know, say, pick any university on the West Coast, have they been doing this longer than we have?
People have been doing things in different ways. So there's not one model for doing this. There are certainly universities who have had programs in sort of ethnic studies or Asian American studies in the US, Asian Australian studies. But we have had a lot of professors who've been doing this work. We have an incredible archive at UBC of professors collecting materials from our community elders, and now they're available for research and for the public. So there's not one way of doing this, but there's a lot of work to do. And so I think of lateness as we are trying step by step to catch up with what's out there.
Do you see this program making it possible for exchange in terms of students from UBC to universities in, well, China or Japan or Korea?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of interest in Asia on Asian migrations. And of course, Asia itself is shaped by migrations. I will mention that we actually have a course this summer, a history course that's called that's a global seminar. They'll be taught in Hong Kong and Shanghai and Vancouver.
I'm in.
And it's going to be about urban form and nostalgia. So we're going to compare Vancouver, Shanghai, and Hong Kong and think about how these cities have changed under development. And this is precisely the Trans-Pacific perspective that we want to bring.
I think that's wonderfully exciting. I mean, wow, if I'd only known earlier, I tell you.
We'll reserve your spot.
Oh, well, that's very good. That's very good. Now, you're actually a UBC Honors English graduate. And now you're back at UBC after a number of years. How does it feel? What's changed?
You know, when I got this job at UBC, I never expected it. I thought once I left Vancouver, I'd never make it back. And so it was a bit of a surprise, a bit of a shock. And I thought it would be like picking up my life again as an undergraduate. And it was nothing like that. You know, my former teachers are now my trusted and valued colleagues. And I see things from the other side of the table. But it's really great to talk to students in our department and say, you know, I was there once, and, you know, you're interested in these same things that I was interested in, and hopefully there are now different opportunities for you to pursue these interests.
So you feel the university has grown or reshaped itself in these intervening years?
Yeah, I think the university has grown. The university has made steps towards recognizing its broader cultural responsibilities and broader social responsibilities. I think ACAM is one step in that. And I was mentioned, I mean, our program was launched in 2012 when UBC recognized its complicity in the expulsion of Japanese Canadian students in 1942. And Dean Averill at that point announced and committed to this program as a way of making sure that histories of racism aren't forgotten. So these are important steps.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, speaking on the international side of things, mm-hmm. I believe you're quite involved with St. John's College as well.
Yes, that's right.
Do you want to describe a little bit about what you're doing there and the nature of St. John's College? I'm not sure a lot of people understand.
Yeah. So St. John's College is one of two graduate colleges at UBC. The other is Green College. We're located near the Psychology Building and Scarf Building. And we are a community of graduate students and postdoctoral fellows who are interested in international issues. So about 150 people live at St. John's College. About two-thirds are from outside Canada. And so we try to provide a hospitable, welcoming, working and living environment for members of the UBC community to interact together daily on international issues. And so it's a really wonderful community. If anyone is thinking of graduate studies at UBC, whether you're from Canada or not, I would highly recommend you look into St. John's. And it's a really amazing way to get to know people. So I'll just mention, I had dinner there a few days ago, and on my table was someone working on public health in Cambodia, someone working on the history of Korean ceramics in Japan, and somebody working on the politics of progressive literature in the United States. And where else? And that would be your, that's your regular dinner conversation.
That's unbelievable, really. Well, so in some ways you don't need a classroom. But I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, actually. And finally, I noticed a new project you're undertaking, and I love the title, Losing China, Trans-Pacific Literary Thought and Cold War Geopolitics. What is this about?
Yeah. Well, so one of my own research interests is in Chinese migrations after 1949, after the revolution. And the revolution affected all people who are of Chinese background in some way, because all of a sudden your relationship to the homeland changed. You know, losing China was actually something that was brought up by the McCarthy era, and, you know, where the United States accused some State Department officials of losing China when 1949, when it went communist. But I'm interested in thinking of loss in a different way. I'm thinking of interested of what does it mean to lose a homeland? What does it mean to lose a history? What does it mean to move from one place to another place? And for me, what's interesting is that those experiences of loss and movement directly affect how we read literature. We read through loss, and we read through those histories of migration.
So it seems to me this concept of loss is complex because it's both absence and memory and history, I suppose.
That's right.
And so the question might be, how do you grapple with those interstices,
That's
you
right.
might say?
And the divides of the 49 revolution have not been resolved. I was just back from Hong Kong, and you know, those divides between Hong Kong, Taiwan, and China are still there. And so loss is not a historical event. It's a daily reality for many people.
So I must ask you, what kind of research do you do on a topic like this? Where do you do it?
Well, sometimes it means talking to people. It means talking to people who are writers or critics at a certain time. Sometimes it means hours in a library, trying to look up old journals, old magazines, old articles. And sometimes it means watching things like popular culture and film, because that's where people were working out their different identity questions.
Yes, absolutely. And the sense of historical drama, which I have seen in China itself, you know, it seemed to be television stations just devoted to recreating incidents and scenes from the past.
Yes, history is not in the past. History is very much in the present.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, this has been wonderful. I want to thank our guest today, Chris Lee, director of the Asian Canadian and Asian Migration Studies Program. And stay tuned for further profiles from the always innovative and exciting Faculty of Arts at UBC. Thanks again, Chris.
Thanks, Sarah.
Hello, this is the recording artist Jay Arner, and you're listening